Welcome to the Sage of Three Paths podcast. We are three brothers who use this space to talk about a range of topics, anything from politics, race, anime, and pop culture, each giving our own perspectives and opinions. I'm the youngest, Mo Jana, also known as Junior Lab.
I'm the oldest, Okello, but my brothers call me AJ.
Middle child, Oz, aka Wizard King.
We three brothers.
One sec. We once again thank you for tuning in and joining us on this sometimes cathartic journey. Let's dive right in. So, brothers, I hope you're both doing well.
Doing well, thank you.
It's about time. Oz, you good too?
Yeah, man, alive as per usual, you know.
Amazing. So, without further ado, I am glad to finally be able to welcome another brother of mine. I've known this guy for so long. We've been through ups and downs, rounds and rounds. We'll probably get into bits of it as we're having this conversation. But yeah, Manny, welcome to the Three Sages, man.
Welcome.
No, you didn't really give him...
Thank you. Far too kind. Guys, be quiet. It's okay.
The way you had to pause because the video was buffering.
Yo, because it was you the advert.
Too cheap to pay for, that YouTube premium.
But nah, it's a blessing to be here, man. Yeah, I've been on to Mo for time. I even went to the point of saying you don't rate me because clearly I'm not good enough to be on the podcast. I love what you guys are doing. I think it's sick. Obviously, I know you all so well, but I've never actually seen you really talk as free, like, you know, in a space at one time, because obviously you're all doing different things in different moments. So, yeah, man, very soothing, very relaxing. And also very poignant, like you talk about things that are very important and provoking, and it's a blessing to be here. So yeah, man, how you guys doing?
Well,
yeah,
really well. Yeah, it's really glad to have you.
Yeah, one thing that I wanted to say is, although Mo did quite a heartfelt introduction of his brother, of our brother, he didn't give much of a background of who you are or what's good. So I guess that's a starting point for us, really and truly, for us to know who are you really? Because the listeners are like, okay, cool, this guy's another brother. All the blacks call each other brother. No, come on, man. Tell us what's really good.
All right, so should we start the origin story of how this has come about?
Oh, I love it.
No,
I
just who it. Are Damn, you, man. Bro?
So I was a young American teen, traveled over to the wonderful land of United Kingdom, and basketball was a passion.
Wait, sorry, young American teen?
Yeah.
Where, are you from Mexico?
No, I'm British born, but I grew up in Florida, so at the time I was a Yankee.
Here you go, context.
Oh, you mean... You were from the United States of America, not America, because, you know, it could be anywhere in America.
Okay, yes, United States of America, Florida to be specific. Davenport, Florida. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's show some respect for everyone else in America apart from the United States, because they get pissed off when they say, it's not just the USA.
I apologize to the listeners. Davenport, Florida. And, basketball was a passion at the time, and I remember going to high school. I was in a place called Dustin, and so predominantly like white racist area, to be fair. And I experienced like mild
what's that Dustin, the area of Northampton.
Yes,
it's quite racist.
Okay, cool.
So my town, Dustin town.
It's actually crazy that I actually experienced a lot of like bullying and a lot of mild racism, for sure. You know, oh, you're not British, speak British. Mo was one of them, to be fair. He always used to try and get me to get rid of my accent, but it's all good. Still love him. Anywho, yeah, basketball was just the thing that kept me going, man. And I remember one of my teachers, because I used to just whip on everyone, you know, in high school. And then, so he was like, "You're really good. Let me introduce you to the county team. You should go for county trials." So then I went, and at this time it was mixed with boys and girls. And I went, and you know, I was hooping, and then I made it through, and then so I made the team. And what were we, under 14? Under 13 at the time?
I think it was under 13 at the time.
And yeah. This is me, very ill. I came from playing street ball, so regulation was not a thing. So, two shorts wearing, Jordan wearing, tank top wearing, just so super fresh.
Did you come with a chip on your shoulder?
100%, bro.
Like, 100%. You know what I'm saying?
Well, to say like, you know, I'm American, I played ball, mm-hmm, bro.
Exactly. Okay. And it was a whole different like style, because street ball versus regulation is very different. So, you know, I didn't really have the stamina to go up and down the court like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm used to just playing in the street. So Mo was one of the ones who was on me, man. I used to bend over and arch my back and like be puffing, you know what I'm saying, and not have the stamina. And he used to like stand up, like don't run over. Like, yeah, he was on my case, and it was crazy, like getting whipped into shape in that way to learn how to play regulation basketball. And then so from that moment, like, yeah, Mo wasn't intimidated by me, because a lot of people obviously were, being that American guy, you know what I'm saying, loud talking, very flamboyant. And Mo just gravitated to me in a way where it was like, oh, I know you're that guy, but I'm going to show you that you can be your better guy. Do you know what I'm saying? And that was just kind of what grew us together. And then we started kicking it, man. Music was one thing that kept us aligned, you know. Late nights, just up in your mom's house, up in that room with the desktop, just listening to music, talking to girls, like... eating food, like
all the secrets, you know, are coming out.
There's
man.
So much that happened in the house. Night. And then it led to my house, sneaking out, going to parties. Mo's first girlfriend was because of me. I witnessed it.
This guy said first girlfriend.
Oh no, not first girlfriend, but right? Intense relationship. No.
Oh, he paused.
Okay. First intense relationship. And then, you know, I remember a story where we had East Midlands, which is like regional. And
what's that, basketball?
And I always used to play pranks on everyone. And I played a prank on Mo one time, and I hid his shoe at the house. And then I forgot to take the shoe out from where I hid it from. So imagine we're in the locker room, ready to dress up. And Mo's like, "Where's my shoes?" And I'm like, "Shh, I forgot his shoe at home."
Nah, for real, you did.
And he had to luckily, one of our boys, I don't even know how the shoes fit, to be fair, but he had
those shoes didn't fit, man. Let's keep it real. I was a 9.
They were like,
I was like an 8.5, 8.5, 13, pushing 9. But no, I was wearing some tens.
Okay.
I was wearing some tens. I had to lace them up really tight.
How dangerous.
To be honest, I was all over the place.
And your coach still let you play?
Yeah, still, yeah, man. Put shoes, no shoes, no feet. I'm still going to play defense with my heart.
I said no feet.
No feet, you know. Yeah. That would be pretty tough.
It's that critical flex.
But yeah, so, yeah, man, me and Mo have been through so much up and downs, you know, beef over girls, beef over just nonsense and just young, unemotional, intelligent teens. And then just, I went through a period of life where, God rest our soul, you know, your family, my brother, passed. And around that time I went through a transitional period where I was done with the partying, you know. So I carried on pursuing basketball more, obviously pursued education, and so I kind of separated myself, moved away, and then went to America, came back, And then when I came back, I was just in a whole different flex. I just didn't want to party no more. All these, like, our group of friends, all they wanted to do was party and go out. And I was like, why do you guys want to party all the time? Why can't we just, like, just vibe and chill and, you know, just hang out? And so I kind of separated from the whole friendship group for a long period of time and isolated myself from everyone. And then me and Mo didn't speak for years. And then sometimes, I guess they say, like, when you are away from someone, the distance shows you how much you need that person or how much you want that person in your life. And that definitely was the case for us, being bonded as brothers for this over 10 years now. Yeah, it's been crazy, man. Loads of ups and downs, loads of intertwining stories and just to find the moments that make us who we are. And now as men, you know, we're able to share that history and be there for each other and trust each other and seek to understand each other. And it's just a beautiful thing. And you guys have seen, you know what would be interesting? I would love to hear the big brothers, your perspective, because I was thinking about this. I was talking to my friend and I'm going to my friend's podcast. And it's so funny because, like, these guys, the older brothers, have seen me grow up, but you haven't actually spoke to me in those years. It's been high and bys, little catch-ups, but we haven't really delve in. So really and truly, you know a version of me, but you actually don't know who I am now. So I'd love to hear your perspective from when you first met me to knowing me now, or, you know, the evolution of, I guess, my upbringing, because you guys are a part of that.
Wanna go first, Oz?
These guys had to take a sip of water.
Yeah, sure, man. Like, before me, I was into basketball at the same period, and very quickly I realized that Mo was better than me, which obviously burnt me. At the same time, I was like, no, come on, I'm competitive, I want to be the best I can be and achieve all I can achieve, that kind of vibe. So as I saw the circle that Mo was running with, if we're talking about basketball specifically, and I almost saw you guys grow in front of my eyes from these rascals who are good at the game to these young adults who are actually very, very sick, to the point where you've mentioned twice, oh well, yeah, I just went to America. Yeah, you went to go and play. You was actually some mad scholarship or whatever, or you paid the money, whatever. You went over there for a specific job. Not everyone gets the opportunity to do something like that, or not everyone has the courage to do something like that, regardless of whatever the outcome was. But seeing you guys grow up, seeing glimpses of the parties or hearing glimpses of some of the stuff that you guys would get into, I think I've always had a love and respect for the side of Mo that you brought out, or the side of Mo that you resonated with. Because very quickly Mo adopted you to say, yo, you're actually family now, and you were into that inner circle. So for me, that's the most poignant thing, like that effect that you've had. But also, you were this cool kid who could play drums, pretty sick. And I was like, okay, this guy is pretty cool. But you're very right in saying, I don't know you. I don't know you. I haven't sat down with croissants and coffee to be like, yo, what's good, my dude? Like, who are you really? What do you hate? What do you love? I don't know you like that. So here we are with the platform to be like, what's good, my bro? What do you hate? What do you love?
I love that.
Mm-hmm. That's my own portion.
Before I get into mine, I'm actually really curious. You went to the USA to play on a scholarship. What happened?
Yeah, so So the period of time when me and Mo were playing together up until under 16s, I was blessed enough to get into the England program. So it's crazy because, man, like, I remember that period of time where I was starting to like elevate, you know. These guys were the reasons why I was elevating, you know what I'm saying? So selfless, man. Like, I was a bull hog. I used to just like just try and just score as much as I could, and these guys would just allow it to happen, you know what I'm saying? So
he's in the paper again. He's in the paper again.
On a serious one, this is like a Mo MVP day. I remember, to be fair, one day he won MVP. I was the leading scorer of the season, and he won MVP, and it burned me so bad. But now I understand
that fighting spirit.
Now I understand why he won it, because you can't be a leading scorer without someone who's a role player as strong as that. And he showed us at that point in time, it's not about just scoring. It's about the foundation. It's about building a brother up. Do you know what I'm saying? And it took me a while to understand that, but now I do. Anyway, sorry, AJ. Basically, so when I got in the England program, my coach and some other mentors advised that we go to a program that was more upper echelon, so the Loughboroughs, the Bristols, the Barking Abbeys, in opposed to staying in Northampton, because there wasn't really like a pro.
You're only as good as your competition, right? And who you can be training with. If the people you're training with aren't also at that level, and I think this is, sorry to jump in, this is something that, you know, even for me, it's like I'm trying to, and beautiful what you said, man. It's the first time I've heard you say that. But trying to just help somebody or push somebody to really achieve what they can achieve or what I believe they can achieve. There's only so much I could do if I'm not also in that room with those type of people with that kind of pressure, you know. This guy was going to England camps, and I don't know if there was maybe one or two other people in the team, but you was the one that was going consistently. And that for me is like, yo, I'm not there. So I don't know what that's like. I can't help push you towards that pressure. And I know that that's, you had to almost, I don't know, not distance yourself. I started to see a little bit of that compartmentalization.
It was very challenging, bro.
Get it out, brother. I love it. Give me the words.
It was very challenging, man, to have the nuance of, you know, being around the team, how it was, and then going to England camp and then coming back into training. You remember the shift that started to create? It was very challenging for me at that point in time, because it's like,
I was talking like it's an anime.
It's like you're elevating. It's cool. You're elevating, and obviously the ones around you are helping you elevate. But in order to continue to elevate, you need to up your level. Do you know what I'm saying? And it's like, I can't even. It was very challenging, and I'm just very grateful that the ones around me grounded me and kept me humble, like Mo, and you know.
Yeah. Do you reckon that you maintained that humble notion, or Did it seep in that air of, I'm going to England camps, I'm going to the England squad? What are you, man? Come on, man.
It
like, surely a human nature, that's gonna feel good.
I was very excited and I felt good, but I had to say, I think I've always been very humble. Even though I've always had like a chip on my shoulder and been quite arrogant, I've always had that grounding, you know. But I think what gave me my skill level, my talent, was crutching on the arrogance and the confidence. Do you know what I'm saying? It was built on just that alone. So I think I was pouring from a place of, I'm that guy, I have to be that guy, rather than just, I don't know, rather than being the guy who does the little things and does the humble role, you know? I was trying to be someone, you know? And that's where I think I kind of, things got a bit jaded for me in the long run. But AJ, sorry to ask your questions. Yeah. So I went to Loughborough. And then that was a whole story in itself. But basically, I was projected to go to America.
Sorry, Loughborough University?
Loughborough University, yeah. So
it's a sports university.
Yeah, right? So I was playing with the college, but at the same time, I was playing with the Loughborough University team and Division One team, and I was training with the Leicester Riders as well, the BBL team. So that was the pathway.
So for those, sorry, just to jump in, for those who don't know, the UK does have a basketball league. It is called the BBL, the British Basketball League. It's not massively popular. But they do obviously have some really great players and some really great teams. One of the best teams is the Leicester Riders, and that's the team that
The equivalent, you could say, for basketball to football would be, it's like Manchester United or like a Chelsea. And I was effectively playing for the Man United, the under 18s, and then, you know, I'm in the program. So then after that, AJ, I ended up just going through the ranks of my different seasons, and then eventually get to a point where American scouts were coming over, and it was crazy because I had a really, really bad breakup and my mind was not there. Like, young, 18, waking up every night crying in the morning at like 5 a.m. couldn't focus.
That 90s love, R&B baby, crying.
And I started hanging around. When I was in Loughborough, my attitude was very bad. When you talk about arrogance and ego, my arrogance and ego was out the roof. I was starting fights with people in training because I was so good, but like, no one could stop me, in a sense of like, because I was good, they had no choice but to play me. They had no choice but to let me talk to people rudely, and I'm still going to play because they have to win. You know what I'm saying? So the consequences, it was getting very out of hand. It was getting very out of hand, and I had a huge chip on my shoulder. They
were facilitating and
fueling. Yeah. You know, they used to really like, it was a very tough time. It was, you know, they would really play with us mentally, and it really was a big, I was affected for a long time. My basketball, the end of my basketball career, man, it was really bad.
Who's they? The coaches? The
coaching staff, yeah. Mm-hmm. Coaching staff. They really treated us like professionals when we were young and weren't getting paid like professionals. And I definitely believe I should have had an agent, should have had management to help me deal and navigate through the professionalism, because I had no idea what was going on. My attitude was really bad at the time. But anyways, ended up going to America. I got a half scholarship to go to America. So,
were you getting paid in the UK for basketball?
So they had like a bursary. So they would pay us like, say, like £80 a month or so. And we could just buy CDs or whatever, cinema. Do you know what I'm saying? So
£80 a month?
Yeah, whilst I was in college. Yeah.
Get yourself some juice.
Whilst I was in college, that was nice. Do you know what I'm saying? That was nice. And then I realized that I never forget when we went out with Janai one time. He was playing, this is the equivalent to basketball and football. Shout out to Janai, man. And then,
shout out to Gordz.
I looked in his account, I couldn't believe what I saw. I was like, this is crazy. Like, we were all the same age, and he had way more money than us. And I was like, nah, I'm definitely in the wrong sport. Like, it was crazy. He'd be a good person to hear his stories too, to be fair. But anyways, AJ, I ended up going to America and dealing with loads of politics out there. And I just got to a point where I just kind of...
Wait, did you get scouted by the American scouts?
Yeah, I got scouted by American scouts to go out there. And then
from the United States?
Yeah, I went to a prep school. I went to the same prep school as LaMelo Ball, Spire Institute. LaMelo Ball went there.
That's cool.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah, he went there, man. And it was cool, like, we had all the big colleges there.
Welcome to the Sage of Three Paths podcast. We are three brothers who use this space to talk about a range of topics. Anything from politics, race, anime, and pop culture. Each giving our own perspectives and opinions. I'm the youngest, Mo Janna, also known as Junior Lab.
I'm the oldest, Okello. But my brothers call me AJ.
Middle child Oz, aka Wizard King.
It just wasn't meant to be, man. Like, I was dealing with shin splints, and I was just mentally, my mum wasn't well, and so basically my tuition was free, but my accommodation I had to pay for. And my mum wasn't well, so she couldn't continue to pay for it. So I was going to transfer to another place. When I transferred to another place, I stayed with my cousin for 2 weeks. I was going to live with him just until my sister got a place. And I was going to plan to go to another school in Georgia. And then stayed with him for a week and a half. And say 2 weeks later, he died. Committed suicide. Yeah. And imagine he's 30s, 3 kids, millionaire. He was a software developer. So he would maintain websites, or web developer. He would maintain websites for like big companies. So he used to work for ESPN, like major companies, and had it all, man. Had the brand new Mercedes, like he had a 6-bedroom house. He had it all, I thought, and clearly that stuff doesn't fulfill you, because I witnessed that my first time experiencing death, and I came back to the UK, and then just to see where I was, and death row spiraled into deep depression and anxiety, and I definitely had to reconfigure my life, because what once satisfied me and once like kept me going didn't anymore. When I realized, oh, we actually die. Like, this life is actually.
Man, was it a realization of drawing that? Or drawing from that pool of that arrogance and that hate or that anger and that drive was almost like the catalyst, or doing something like that is almost a waste of time. If you don't like doing the little things, being the humble guy, you get to enjoy so much more of what's around, perhaps. I don't know, man, speculation.
Yeah, no, 100%, because I missed out on, by the way, I didn't have a normal childhood. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, obviously me and Mo used to go to parties and stuff, but a lot of the times that wasn't the case, man. When everyone was partying, I was working out. I was in the gym. Do you know what I'm saying? I was at camp. I was at practice. So I didn't, as much as I partied every now and then, I didn't have a normal childhood. I didn't experience, like, working in the real world. Everything was given to me. Free gear, free clothes, free training, free money, free food. Like, so everything was just given to me.
Well, the training weren't free all the time. You just managed to find your way out of it and not pay the full
amount. Who pushed that more? Was it your drive for the game, or was it your parents saying, "Yo, this guy could be something and take us somewhere"? Or
was it just me? My parents, they believed and supported me, but they always told me I should do something else, because they didn't think it was sustainable. Even with the music, and we'll get to that. Like, they up until last year, they were telling me to get a real job.
Yeah, I love it.
But yeah, we'll get to that single. But so yeah, man, when I experienced, you're right, when I experienced how trivial life can be and how much things don't really matter. Like, when you think about it, like, we're really slaving our life away and going from city to city, check to check, just to put a ball in a basket for entertainment purposes. It really doesn't make much sense to me. So I started traveling. I started like painting. I started like drawing and meditating and listening to Gary Vee and, you know, going to church more, praying and connecting more to my spirituality. And, you know, I started to ground myself a lot more and really see what life was for me, rather than this identity of this dream we were sold, you know, go to the league, be a professional. And really, who said that was my destiny, you know? That was the biggest thing for me at this point in my life. Like, who am I? What's my purpose? What's my destiny? What, you know, and I'm still on that journey. I can know it more, but yeah, definitely I'm glad things happened. And there were so much things that happened in my life when I wasn't playing basketball that I would have missed. Like, so much family things, so much things that I was able to be there to help for and experience that I wouldn't have had. So I'm very grateful for how things transpired. But I want to ask a question to Modo. So I asked the two brothers, and I want to ask Mo, what's your origin story about how we've ended up here? Because you gave us a little teaser. Well,
doesn't AJ have to give
his
answer? Let's do that.
AJ first. Sorry.
Got my head screwed on today.
It's a bit unfair for me because I've learned so much about you in this conversation. But definitely, because I'm much older than Mo, So it wasn't like I was hanging around with Mo and his friends. It was more the case of I would see you hanging around with Mo. And the more I saw you, the more I was like, for me, bonds are built with time. So the more time I saw you, the more I saw that you were building bonds with Mo, which opened my heart to build bonds with you. It's I guess there was some trust in Mo's vetting process for who he lets close to himself. So just some cool guy that, okay, this guy is my brother's friend. I can, you know, anything happens to my brother, it's someone I can turn to and say, hey, what's going on? So, you know, someone I can trust with my brother. There was a long period of time, of course, where I guess everyone just kind of goes their own way to try and figure out what they're going to be. So I didn't see you for quite some time because even I went through, you know, you speaking about your depression, and I really appreciate the fact that you did, because as someone who suffered with depression myself, it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. And, when, you know, you spoke about your cousin who committed suicide. I'll be honest with you, that's something I really thought about. And I'm in a similar situation, apart from the fat bank balance. Apart from that, I'm pretty much the same situation. So where,
I got,
you know,
the wife, I got the kids.
I got the wife, I got the kids, I just ain't got the money.
I could go any moment.
It's coming, bro.
We're joking around, but I could really be empathetic to your cousin. Like, it's tough. It's really tough. And through this conversation, which is possibly the first real conversation I've ever had with you, because, you know, when we see each other previously throughout our lives, we'll just be teasing each other a quick, hey, you call me Stuart Little, and I call you Gap Tooth or whatever it is. But this is the first time.
Why
to...
does he call you Stuart Little?
Because I'm sure.
There's a story. I'll explain the context.
No. Do the story.
Okay, so this is actually very crazy. So you don't even realize what you've done to my life. Because, what was it, 2012?
Wow, this guy remembers the date.
This guy is like some old school ex-girlfriend.
Don't forget. It's very important. It's only because I've seen the video recently, Mo knows. So, obviously, Mooney, our close friend, Lewis Mooney.
Shouts out, Mooney.
Got us tickets to see Watch
and
the Throne.
And older Mooney.
Huh?
No, shouts out Mooney and older
yes,
Mooney.
Yes. Yeah. Got us tickets to see Watch the Throne. And we were thinking, how are we going to get there? Like, you know, we've got the tickets, but like, we don't know how we're going to get there. And so, out of nowhere, out of the thin air, AJ offered to take us. Not only did he offer to take us, he didn't have a ticket. So he was going to drive us down there from the Fountain to London, wait for us in the parking lot. Don't know what he was doing. I would love to know, to be fair, what you were actually doing for that time period. But for the whole show...
I probably had a phone call for a friend and just chatted.
Okay. I write it. But yeah, you waited in the car for us, bro, while we watched that show. And that show changed our lives, man. Like... the craziest thing is, like, that was 10 years ago. You was able to create that inspiration for me by taking us there. We was nosebleeders, back of the wall, literally. Couldn't get as high away as far as we were to in the arena. 10 years later, I am on the stage playing at the same venue.
Wow.
Bless you, know what I'm saying?
I don't forget those things. And obviously, I don't say those things to be braggadocious. I'm just saying, like, you doing that, you made that possible for me to get that inspiration and be like, wow. Not that I never really imagined to be there and say, oh my God, I want to get on that stage. But seeing that I got to experience a moment in history that we'll all remember, and that meant so much to me, and you were part of that. So thank you so much. If I've never actually thanked you.
I'm so happy, but
that just goes to show the heart you have, and all of you in different moments have been done that, you know what I'm saying? And you know, yeah, I appreciate you so much for that. And so basically on the journey up, we was all like bantering and like listen to music, and then we started like joking, cracking on each other. As you lot know, that's me and my brother's favourite thing to do. We love to crack. We love to joke.
Shout out to Matty Reed.
And so I don't know how it started happening, but me and AJ started cracking on each other. And then I was just like, oh, shut up, stupid little. Because I don't know, because he's short and he was wearing glasses. So anyways, that's where it came from, but it just kind of stuck.
That man takes him all the way down to London from Northampton, so over an hour drive.
I know.
I wait in the and freezing cold. He didn't tell you that part, still huh? It's that cold and rainy. Oh,
no. But no, thank you so much.
And he just kills you.
It's all love.
Say, much love. So to wrap up what I'm saying, like, this is probably the first real conversation I've had with you as a man. And I'm just getting a deep appreciation, and it's like, I was right to open my heart to building a bond with this guy. So it's really good to see, you know, where you've come from, who you are now, and I guess as an older brother, I'll say, you know, I'm really proud of you, man. I'm really proud of you. You faced adversity and you got back up, which is the most important thing we can all do, get back up, because we all face it. Like, I heard a saying today, taking care of your self-health, it should be an ethical responsibility.
The ramifications of that, that's deep. I like that.
It's true. And it's funny you say this, because, man, as much as, you know, I am at a great point in my life and stuff, man, I battle every day. Like, I'm this week, just to be keeping it a buck.
I wanted to say. That's
keeping it a buck. Like, I'm battling day to day, bro. You know what I'm saying? Depression definitely isn't linear. It comes and goes, you know? And it just really... I'm really at a place, to be so honest and open with you guys, like, where I'm really seeking who I am and what keeps me going. Not a version of myself that ties into society, a version of myself my mum wants me to be, or my friends want me to be, or work requires me to be. Like, who really am I? Because I think you can get so sucked into people's versions of you and what they expect you to do, or how they want you to move. You
become a side character and they're the main character.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Okay.
And like, I think I'm really in a space where I'm really trying to just make sure I'm not going years down the line thinking, rah, what have I done? Who have I been? Who, you know what I'm saying? I'm really trying to just hone in and zone in on myself and just really live a life intentionally and purposefully for me, you know? So, yeah. That's where I'm at.
Oh, that's that arrogance sneaking back in again. Here we go.
Never that.
Get him off the basketball court.
I guess I can kind of give my take on it. And yeah, man, I don't know. I was thinking about this today, because really we've had so many conversations over, you know, the years. And they've just been different, and just the way that they've grown and, you know, become a bit more become a lot less shallow, a lot deeper. I feel like definitely, you know, in the more recent years, I feel like we've grown closer, just like our bond has grown a lot stronger because we've been able to have those kind of deep conversations. But to kind of just talk about like the original story and just how I, like, kind of envisioned you, or how I experienced your journey as, you know, a friend or brother. I don't know, at first, man, I had seen you in a, you know,
sorry,
again,
to sorry to cut going you. Back do you, to that. Do you know that me and your brother are days apart?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Days apart. What does that mean?
He's the 13th of Feb, I'm the 9th.
I kind of
same birthday as mum.
Yeah.
Same birthday as mum. So yeah, going back to like the first time when you came to training, right? So this guy's come, he's rocked up to training. We kind of have our regulations. I'm not really that type of guy, but for some reason, something just said to me, this guy's gonna cause issues. He's gonna make us run. It's one of those where if water break, if anybody's like sitting down or leaning, the coach is going to see that and say, cool, everybody has to run. And if you don't know what a suicide is, yeah, it's basically you're running up and down that court at least four times. Four times, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, back and forth four times. So he's come in, he's, you know, he's got that kind of American type of street baller, blasé. I'm here to just show out and have fun and do fancy passes. I clocked that from early. From the moment he started doing like passes behind the back, I was like, yeah, this trouble for me. This ain't, it looks good, but this trouble for me, I'm not trying to run. You know, actually back then I would say I was definitely a lot more shy, more reserved. I would be the person that's like, I'm at the back and I'm going to like do the push-ups, but I'm not going to give it 100%. You know, I'm going to just try and do my best to get by. And that was the type of person I was back then. So anything to kind of shy away from doing the most amount of work, I was just like trying not to find any opportunity to do that. So that's why I approached him. I don't think anybody wanted to come and talk to you. I don't know why. I feel like it's maybe because, you know, new person in the team, and also, you know, he's from America and he's playing really well. I think everybody kind of was just very standoffish. And I just remember the first thing I said to him, I just tapped him on the shoulder. I said, bro, we don't lean up in here. You got to stand up. And I remember him just laughing and just like, okay. But yeah, man, I feel like that partially has kind of like, if I was to kind of encapsulate that was definitely the way that our kind of friendship was to begin with. It was very much you would be doing things and I would almost just be there to kind of just like either one, try to G-check you, or two, try to just be a part of that experience, but still have a way of it being grounded. So if we was at a party and it would get to a point where, I don't know, maybe things would get like too wild, I would always be the one that's like, yo, let's cut, man. Like, this is long. And you'd always be the one that's like, okay. And I feel like, I don't know, growing up, that's definitely like the way that I saw things. I feel like you exposed me to so many things, man. I don't know. I think my mindset changed from being that person that's, you know, a bit more reserved and wanting to maybe be, you know, behind somebody else, to actually like really giving me the confidence to, you know, be myself. And I think that came out through the conflict that we had, man. Like, there's so many moments I have in my head where I'm like, this guy's pushed me more than like my brothers have pushed me. You know, growing up with these two, like, it was a test, man. I felt like you was that external test, and I'd never had somebody that I would consider my peer do that to me, you know, really push me out my comfort zone. And I feel like it was really good for me to experience that, because it helped me understand who I am more, you know, areas of me that maybe I didn't explore, or I just tried to like kind of push down. I was really able to understand, okay, so like I have a temper. I'm not just this chill guy that's always relaxed. If you push the right buttons, I will snap. You know, there's been times where, bro, we've been walking to your house and for whatever reason, I don't know what it is. I've got you in a headlock. Like, like we've had so many fights. No, for real, we've had so many fights, but we've also like just stuck together no matter what, man. And I feel like that's really just the truth of the bond that we have. Definitely, you know, the years that we had apart, I had to kind of go through and do my own growing. And I know that you was, you know, pursuing your own challenges and you had to grow as well. But I think when we reconvened, and it was all natural, man, nothing that we've ever kind of done together or encountered has been forced. So it was really beautiful to kind of just see how naturally we just kind of congregated back together. You know, I had always seen this guy. I remember going back to his house, and we would just be chilling, and then he'd be having a drum kit in the garage, and I'd just see him playing on the drums. I'm like, bro, why are you playing basketball? Like, you're sick. You've got different talent. Like, I'm hearing beats in my head that I've never heard before from the way you're hitting it. And even the way that he was just playing with pens, like just tapping pens on the table, we would always just be like, yo, let's do a freestyle and just like, I don't know, do some young, dumb stuff, man. Like, it was just so eye-opening to see so much raw talent. And I was like, this guy doesn't even know that all he needs to do is just harness that and actually a lot of the decisions you were making and a lot of the arrogance that, yeah, and it's nice that you can admit that you had that. But for me, it was always just like, this is a simple solution, bro. Like, in certain situations, just don't react. But again, that was me seeing it. And I feel like that was the experience that I had being that more reserved kind of person versus you. So I feel like, I don't know, definitely we was able to, and this is my interpretation, I feel like we was able to really contribute towards each other and learn a lot from each other. I feel like definitely I've gained so much just from like being around you. I would like to say, you know, hopefully that I've been able to have some sort of like positive influence on you and your journey. But yeah, man, this guy's always been sick at just music and drums. And to be honest, anything that he touches is like there. And the only person that I, you know, really could see or think as close to that was Oz. I used to think, damn, this guy can sing, this guy could play guitar, this guy could ball. I mean, he said earlier in the show that, you know, he saw me and thought he was better than me, but I've always seen him as better than
you.
Me
were always the OG. Always. Always. Always the OG.
Always. Alumni out here.
Always the OG.
Shout out to the Nets. But yeah, man, I mean, not to kind of make it too long, just to kind of shorten it. Definitely, I feel like I was thinking about this. What's the one thing that I could just show and put to my... And I will say 100%, you had the arrogance, but you've always been a humble guy. 100%. That's something that I've always seen within you. I knew that you had that level of humbleness. You just wanted to push it to see how far you could test it. But now I feel like you've had those experiences. You know what, you know, your own personal boundaries are. And now you're living your truth, man. And that's why you're elevating and continuously elevating. And even when you're, you know, at this place where we went to watch the Throne, Jay-Z and Kanye West, at the O2 in London. Huge venue. I don't even know how many people it can take. You're playing in that same venue. 20,000. You're playing at that same venue, killing them drums, front center stage, bro. And you're still trying to do work with the community. You're still trying to do workshops and help elevate people. You're still going back to the university that you was at in Manchester, and you're, you know, you're still trying to help you're part of the alumni there. You're still trying to help people grow. And that's the humbleness that I've always seen within you, that actually, even back in days when we were playing ball, you're going up to play with the England squad. You're coming back and, yeah, you did kind of have a little bit of that energy with you, but it was more so, I just want us to do better. It wasn't, I'm better than you. It's like, guys, we can do better. I've seen better. We can do better. We just have to push ourselves. And I feel like definitely that was just it was the way that maybe it was communicated, or the way that the energy was maybe transferred off, why maybe it rubbed some people off the wrong way. But I've always seen that humbleness within you, man. So 100% out. If I was to kind of sum it up, I would just say you're a very humble guy, man. And you do a lot of work for a lot of people. You help a lot of people out in their lives. You expose them to so many things, man. Like, I've been to some shows, I've just been like, wow, this experience has been sick. We went to even the small ones, man, the little jazz show that you was doing the other day with the band. That was so sick, man. That was an experience. And yeah, man, just blessings always, man. Stay humble forever.
Making him sound like Bruce Wayne out here.
No, thank you. It's funny because, like, now I'm even getting flashbacks back to, you know, those periods of time when I would come back to him from the England camp and stuff. And like, it was always... You're right. It was always, look, guys, I've learned this, I'm bringing it back home. I've always had that energy. I've always had, if I've got a pound, 50p split, like, I've always shared. I've always wanted to, you know, want everyone to experience the same energy and success collectively. I've always been that. And even, like, shout out to, like, people like Jerry and Freddie, our other teammates on our team. I've always wanted them to be just as good and thrive just as much. But I think, obviously, a lot of times
that... Where did that come from?
I think my mum, my dad, man. I've seen them give so much endlessly, and people take advantage of them so much and then still give. So I think it's just deeply embedded in me. Definitely my programming from my parents to just give non-stop. And I know you guys have the same. because your mom's like my mom, your dad's like my dad. You know what I'm saying? Like, same energy of just giving, giving, giving.
With calmness and stillness, it comes to an end. We hope you found some gems and go away richer in soul and spirit. We're showing you the three paths of the sage. Your path is your own. Which path do you follow? Until next time.